James chapter 5. Now we're going to do our best to get through verses 7 through 11. I'm hoping verse 12, that is a dream of mine here for the moment. I'm not going to linger on these verses, if you will. They're pretty self-explanatory, but I do want to go over them with you. And so let's go ahead and stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. It's been a blessing to study through the book of James. And as I've been studying through the book of 1 Peter for our Sunday night messages, I'm seeing how very, very close these two books of the Bible are. You say, yeah, they're right next to each other. Just flip the page and you're in 1 Peter. So that's true. They are right there in 1 Peter. So we're so excited to go through these. But more than anything, I hope that they've been a help to you as we've kind of just expanded our knowledge of the scriptures, going through the Word of God. And I've been blessed by this book of the Bible, known as the Psalms of the New Testament, the Proverbs of the New Testament. And it has been a book of wisdom for me. I hope it has for you as we've gone through these things. I'll read out loud. You follow along silently. I'm going to start in verse 7. James says this in verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. So last week, if you remember, we talked about the rich and the dangers of riches, and I'm not going to go back through all of those things, but you understand that we do have to be aware that riches are something that can be a deterrent to good behavior. Okay, they can sway us very easily. Why? Because we're human. All right, we're human. We have that. Let me remind you of what Paul said in 1 Timothy. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Can we just say there? Enough said. Okay? That is the explanation. You say, well, that doesn't happen to everybody that's rich. You're right, it doesn't. Okay? Riches can be a great blessing, but they have to be managed by God. Okay? You have to have the right kind of mindset, and you've got to have your eyes focused on the Savior. If not, you may begin to sink, just like Peter did there as he walked to Christ on the water. Same thing. Okay, you said that had nothing to do with riches. No, it didn't. It had everything to do with getting our eyes off of Jesus Christ. If we do that, we'll fall. Now, with that said, let's turn our attention to verse 7. We understand here, he says this word, be patient. In these next several verses, the word patient or patience is used 5 different times. Why do you suppose that is? Because we need it. That's right. Thank you, Brother Losey. It's exactly true. How many of us are impatient people? Amen. I'll raise my hand and my feet. This generation today is the Burger King generation. You know, it's not Generation X, Generation Y, Generation Z, all those generations. No, it's the Burger King generation. They want it their way and they want it now. That's what they want. Yeah, the microwave generation, you can call it that, right? Listen, if your computer takes more than, you know, 3 nanoseconds to compute something, it's you need a new one. You know, it's like and I'm not even going to talk about people that get new iPhones. You know, just why'd you have to get it today? He doesn't know. But no, we always want something that's faster, right? We got to have faster technology, and we just think about kids that are getting out of high school and college. They want everything that their parents have amassed over 40 years, their first year of marriage. It's just, no, that's not how it works. I mean, you need to experience times where you're eating turkey loaf and ramen noodles and hot dogs and you know, behind a couple months on your mortgage payment, you know. I mean, you need to build some character, some toughness, you know. You shouldn't have all, you know, big fancy house, big fancy cars, you know, everything, money in the bank, food in the fridge. You know, you ought to open the fridge and just see ice cubes, you know, just like, oh. I guess those would be in the freezer, wouldn't they? Well, wherever they are, you just, you know, what are we having for supper? Ice, you know, snow cones. All right, yeah. Doesn't that sound good, kids? Yeah, my kids want snow cones. There you go. We need to have patience. If you'll think back to what James said as he began the book of James. Look back at verses 2 and 3 here. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, many times as we teach and we preach, we go through and give many different scenarios, thoughts, principles, ideas, and then you come back around for the review, right? Because you need to reinforce the things that you've mentioned previously. As he goes through here, he says this, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. You understand that he is encouraging them to live this life of patience. As Paul says, to run their race with patience. It's easy for us to grow anxious about tomorrow. What did Christ say in Matthew chapter 6? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You understand that we don't need to worry about these things and care about these things of this world, because they're going to take care of themselves. You understand that we've got to stay focused on the Lord. We need to wait, I say, on the Lord. That's how we need to live our lives. You know, over there, it talks about, you know, mounting up with wings as eagles and all that stuff. Why? What does that all have to do with relying upon the Lord? Keeping our minds and hearts focused on him. He says this, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and the latter rain. You understand that God has a timeline. What did John say at the end of Revelation about Jesus? Jesus said he's going to come quickly, right? And John said, hey, come, right? What does quickly mean? Well, but it's been 1900 years since that was written. How long is quickly? Long time, evidently. Right? Do you understand? I think many scholars have recorded this. Many of the disciples thought that Christ would come in their lifetime. And certainly because of the things that Jesus said to Peter about John, Remember he said something about it, all that, and Jesus said, well, what is it to thee if he tarry till I come, right? Many people thought that John was going to be the marker for the coming of Christ. Okay, that's not necessarily the case. Obviously, it's not the case. he's been long since gone. And so you understand that James is trying to keep them from being anxious about things. Do you know how we keep from being anxious? Trust God. Do you know what it means to trust someone? That means you don't give that thought a second thought. But what if? No, but what ifs? He's in control. He's God. It says here, James says, the husbandman is waiting for the precious fruit. He said, don't get your eyes off the prize. The fields are white already into harvest, right? Remember, James knows of these things. He heard them and experienced them. He knew what it was to be out into the fields working. And it's the Lord's harvest. He says, look, you're scattered abroad now. You're going into all these other areas of the world, and you need to keep winning people to Christ. The husbandman, Jesus Christ, he is waiting for the fruit, the precious fruit of the earth. Hey, listen. Hey, Christian, don't be anxious. Oh, is the Lord coming today? Oh, is the Lord coming today? Oh, is the Lord coming today? Because if you live that kind of life, you'll never get out in the field and work. You'll just sit around pacing, going, oh, is he going to come? Is he going to come? No. He says, patience. Go out, put your boots on, get your tools ready, and go out and do the work. And because the husbandman wants the harvest. He's waiting for the harvest that comes from the early rain, and he's waiting for the harvest that comes from the latter rain. You understand? There's been 1,900 years of rain on the harvest of the Lord. I don't know how many more years are going to come. And it'd be silly for me to sit in my office or sit here at the church or sit in my house or sit somewhere, sit anywhere, sit. And is the Lord going to come today? No, I ought to be out with my Bible or with a gospel tract or something, meeting people, talking to people, bringing in the harvest, because that's what we need to be doing. James says that the husbandman is the one waiting for the precious fruit. And he says, you need to be patient. Look at verse 8. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. What is he encouraging them to do in verse 8? When it says, establish your hearts, I think back to what it says in 1 Corinthians. That we're supposed to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You understand, he says, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I do not have time tonight to develop all of these thoughts, but maybe you can write these down. You can write down the passage from Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 27. This is the parable about the nobleman who went into a far country. And it talked about these 10 servants, right? And he told them to occupy till I come. Remember, the citizens hated him, but the servants did their work anyways. And when he came back, he received and blessed some of the servants. He cursed the one that did not do his job. And then at the end of it, all the citizens that hated him and didn't want his coming were killed. You say, what does that have to do with this verse? Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It's a great picture of what James wanted these Christians to do as they went out scattered abroad over all the earth here. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter encourages the folks that he's speaking to submit themselves to every ordinance of man, and whether it's by punishment or praise and all these things, be subject unto them. And do it with fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. He says, hey, you need to suffer through this. You need to get through these things and work through these things because the Lord is returning and He wants us to be established in our hearts. How can we be rock solid? By being on the solid rock. The Lord Jesus Christ. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Right? The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. Right? The end is destruction for that. What's the end for the one that builds their house on the rock? Success. Stability. Now, we need to understand that God wants us to persevere. Look at verse 9. He says, "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." Now, earlier in these other chapters of the book of James, he dealt with their dealings with one another, didn't he? Especially in chapter 4. So James is just saying, look, you need to bury the hatchet. No more grudges. No more fightings between you. We need to be out in the fields working. We need to be looking together. We need to be looking for the coming of the Lord. He's drawing nigh. Hey, the judge is at the door. He knows us. We're His people. There's no reason for us to have quarrels amongst ourselves. If there are quarrels amongst ourselves, it's because we're in the flesh, not in the spirit. And he says, hey, we need to set this stuff aside. We cannot afford this to be the case because we're waiting for the advent of the Lord. We're waiting for His coming. He says, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. He says, look, we're Jews. Because he's speaking to who? Saved Jews, okay? He says, look, we were taught since we were little bitty kids about the prophets. We know their examples. We know their testimonies. We know what they endured, what afflictions they endured, what things that they went through, and they were able to be established in the Lord. They were able to make it through. He says, we have this as an example. Don't forget it. Don't forget these things which were an example. He says in verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You understand that they went through these things as kids. This is what they knew. So he knew exactly what to say to help them to remember how to get through. Folks, when we find ourselves at odds with one another, we need to remember this old book here. The examples, the principles, the idea. Listen. Forgive. Right? Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We're not always going to agree on things. Some of us are going to offend others. Right? Some of us just may flat do something wrong to another. We're human. There's a process. There's an example. God has given us. He says, look, we count them happy which endure. We know the Lord is very pitiful. He's of tender mercy. Now, I'm not going to have time to get into verse 12. It's here. We're out of time. So I'm going to read a few verses and then we'll shut her down. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes this and says this, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. We need to be ready. We need to be watching and waiting. We need to have our earthly relationships correct and in the right order, forgiving and giving mercy instead of going after people and slitting throats and holding grudges and wars and fightings amongst us. That's not how it's supposed to be. We need to consider the examples in Scripture that have been set before us. I want you to listen to something interesting that Jesus said to the church in Sardis. Recorded in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. It says, "And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. Hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." That's a pretty tough admonition, isn't it? But true. You know, many times we can get in a position like that, where we're letting other things take our attention away from what's at hand. And what's at hand? The coming of the Lord. It's at hand. Don't let things distract you from what's going on. So James is telling them to be patient. He's telling them to persevere. He's telling them not to get distracted by either the people that are rich that are oppressing them, by others in the church that they're having problems with, holding grudges and having difficulties. He encourages them to take the example of the prophets and suffer the affliction and live a life of patience and let patience have her perfect work, letting them be perfect and complete and entire, wanting nothing. We as believers need that in our day and in our time. One last passage in Romans chapter 12. Let me remind you what Paul says. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleaved to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation." And I like this one because it matches our theme. "Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. And weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, in this day and time, these things in Scripture, these examples in Scripture, just like James encouraged the Jews of this day to look back at the patience of the prophets of old and the example of the prophets of old, we need to look to these examples and these admonitions in Scripture and live our lives accordingly, looking for the coming of the Lord. Not in anxiety, but with patience, perfect work in us, in the work of Christ. That's where we need to live. That's where our focus needs to be. Because guess what? I want to be out there with a hoe, digging out the weeds and cultivating the new plants when the Lord comes. And all of a sudden, oh, the hoe goes to the ground and I go up into the air. That's how it should be. You know what would be a great thing? I would love, I don't think I have one in this. I do have one here. Ha ha ha. Amazing. My wife's amazing. Whenever she takes my suits to the cleaner, she's learned to put everything back that I had in my pockets. I want to be doing this when Jesus comes. Or I want to be doing this when Jesus comes. Or maybe doing this when the Lord comes back. I want him to find me waiting. Not caught up in something where I got odds with my friends at church or I got my eyes off the prize of the race and I'm have a bad spirit and I'm just backslidden and out of the will of God. I don't want that to be the case. We need to be focused on the coming of the Lord. Not in anxiety, but in the patience of God, working for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.